Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. That person has the patience of Job. You've probably heard that before. You've probably all heard that at some point in our lives. It's become quite a common idiom, you know, to say that someone has the patience of Job. And I think there are people, though, who say it, who have no idea about the biblical story of Job, but, you know, they know the saying. I've met some people over in my life that certainly I would say have the patience of Job. You know, they're absolute saints. But for the most part, patience is really not a virtue in our fast food, microwave, Netflix culture, is it? You know, I've always kind of thought I was a pretty patient man. Just don't ask my wife and my kids for verification. But in our impatient, you know, need it now culture, patience is really something that we struggle with. I don't even like waiting a whole week for the next, you know, Mandalorian episode to come out on Disney Plus. It's too long. Anyway, but if patience is a virtue, it's a pretty rare virtue in our culture. But sometimes life requires the patience of Job. And if we remember the biblical account of Job, we remember that this man endured a lot. Job endures tragic loss and intense suffering. He loses all that he has, you know, his livestock, his servants, his children. And he's physically afflicted as well with horrible sores all over his skin. And at the end of the story, Job, who has endured all of this, who has endured so much, who has been long-suffering, patient, if you will, has a new life surrounded in abundance with property, children, and grandchildren, and so on. Through God-given grace and patience, Job says, the Lord gave and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job is an example of patience. Maybe not patience like we tend to think about patience, but he's an example of long-suffering and enduring until the day when what is to come comes. And that's the reason that Job is mentioned in the letter of James that we heard in our second reading this morning, James chapter 5, 7 through 11. It says, be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness or patience of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. And we get a couple of other examples of patience listed as well, along with Job there in that passage. The farmer, who is definitely not in the business of immediate results, is this example of patience. Instead, they patiently wait to see the growth and what the harvest brings. Even with all the modern technology now involved in farming these days, they can't just press a button and watch a machine spit out a finished product whenever they want. They have to live day by day awaiting what is to come. And we hear about those Old Testament prophets who proclaim God's word to a world that didn't want to hear it. Despite doing what they were called to do, they were often rejected, beaten, killed. But they endured. They were patient in their calling, knowing what was to come. And what exactly was that they knew was to come? Well, John the Baptist also knew what that was, what was to come, and who it was. He knew that what was to come was salvation through the Messiah. He was preparing the way for that one who would come. He proclaimed God's word. He was that voice crying in the wilderness as he ate locusts and wild honey. As Pastor Eric demonstrated last week at 11 o'clock, he ate crickets, believe it or not. Sorry you missed it. But John the Baptist was that voice crying in the wilderness. He's the one who baptizes Jesus in the Jordan River and proclaims Jesus to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He saw it. He recognized it, and he boldly proclaimed truth because of it. But when the going gets tough, we all lose a little patience, don't we? So now in our gospel today, from Matthew chapter 11, John is in prison for proclaiming truth, for calling King Herod to account, to repentance, for marrying his brother's wife. You know, most people don't like to hear the law. They don't want to hear truth, especially when it convicts them and they know that what they're doing is wrong. But of course, they need to hear it. And that's what John was doing, giving Herod exactly what he needed to hear. But the result of it is that now the great John the Baptist is suffering, rotting in prison, and he starts to grow impatient. And he sends his followers to Jesus to ask him a question. And they ask, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus responds by reminding John why he came and what he's been doing. He says, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me." Jesus was telling John that Jesus is fulfilling the prophecies that were made concerning him. He quotes those words of Isaiah 35 that we read in our first reading, our Old Testament reading, as well as some words from Isaiah 61. And he says that he's doing these things, that they're being fulfilled, that he is the Messiah, that he is the one who was to come. And it's interesting because John the Baptist knew this stuff. John the Baptist, remember, this is the guy who leapt in his mother's womb in the presence of Jesus when he was in the womb of the Virgin Mary. This is the one who, I said, proclaimed Jesus to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the forerunner to the Christ. And yet, and so John knows all this stuff, but John's losing patience. As he sits in prison, it feels like defeat, not victory. But Jesus' message to John is that this current state, sitting in prison, awaiting execution, would not last forever. Jesus would deliver him. Now, many of you know that John the Baptist never gets out of prison. He's beheaded. Did his patience pay off? Was his suffering worth anything? Yes. Not because Jesus literally saved him from the shackles put on him by Herod, but because Jesus literally saved him from the shackles of sin and death and brought life and immortality to light, brought eternal life. Like Jesus says to Martha at the death of Lazarus, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." John the Baptist, even while he sits in prison, finds comfort, endurance, patience in his suffering because he knows and is comforted by the promises of the Messiah, by the promises of Jesus. And we too find comfort, endurance, and patience in the midst of the things of this life because of what Christ has done, because of who Christ is, and because of what is to come. We're not always going to be patient with all things in life, and I'm not really talking about, you know, the rat race of life and impatience when it comes to that, person in front of you while you were driving to church this morning and the lack of patience you showed when they were going too slow or they cut you off or whatever it, might have been. And I'm not talking about the lack of patience we might have in other areas of our life, work, family, or even, health. But I am talking about a patience that brings us comfort even in the midst of our impatient lives. By the way, patience is something God works in you. It's a fruit of the Spirit, not simply something that God demands of you, but something that God works in you by the Holy Spirit. We're called to be patient until the coming of the Lord. This reminds me of the words of St. Paul from Romans 8:18 when he says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." We're called to remain steadfast. Life is not always going to go the way that you want it to go. The prosperity gospel of health, wealth, and happiness, as long as you're a faithful Christian, is not the gospel of Scripture. In fact, it's no gospel at all. I don't think I need to tell most of you that life throws us a lot of curveballs or that things get difficult. Most of you have experienced that far greater than I have. But in the midst of these difficulties in life, it's not that we aren't to react to them or grieve over them or to hurt or any other thing. But in the midst of these difficulties, we're to take heart and to stand firm, knowing that they don't have the final word. Just like the tragedy of Job's life didn't have the final word. And imprisonment and even being beheaded, believe it or not, didn't have the final word in John the Baptist's life. Why is that? Because of Jesus. Today, as Pastor Eric mentioned, as we lit that pink candle or rose-colored candle, today is Gaudete Sunday. And I know that you have no idea what that means as far as the word, but it means to rejoice. It means it's a day of rejoicing. As Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." Why? Because Christ has come. He has come to open the eyes of the blind and the ears of the deaf. The lame leap, the mute sing, the dead are raised, the captives are set free, and us poor sinners have the good news preached to us. Christ, in his first advent, when he became man, he suffered and he died to free us from sin, death, and the grip of the evil one. He took the shackles that bound us and he brought us life and salvation through his death and resurrection for us. So now, no matter what shackles this world puts on us, it cannot take away the freedom and life that we have for all eternity and the promise of newness, new creation, restoration, and reconciliation that we have because of Jesus Christ. And we know that the suffering of this present time is not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed. I don't know how long we're going to have to endure, and I can make no promises about your life on earth, the health and wealth and comforts you might desire. But I can promise you this: our Savior has come. He has done everything necessary for your salvation. He has freed you from the condemnation of sin and death, and he has promised you life long after this world ceases or our life in this world ceases. So today and every day, as we endure this world, as we endure this time, eagerly waiting for that consummation, for that the fullness of that reconciliation, that restoration to come. There's cause for rejoicing. There's cause for rejoicing now, always, even in the midst of pain. There is cause for rejoicing because that pain will not last forever. The current situations that cause you grief, that you're struggling with, will not last forever. There's cause for rejoicing because, as we heard in our second reading, the Lord is coming. Not only did he come that first time as that babe born in Bethlehem, but he's coming again. And the Lord is compassionate and merciful, and he brings you forgiveness, life, and salvation. Why is there cause for rejoicing? Because it's the joy of Jesus. The joy of promises which will never fail, that allow us to be patient even in the midst of the things of this world, to endure even unto death like John the Baptist did. Because Jesus is indeed the one promised, the one who came to save, the one who suffered and died to take away our sins, the one who rose again so that death doesn't have the final word, and the one who is coming again and who will dwell with us for all eternity. So brothers and sisters, this morning, whatever you're going through, whatever situations might be weighing you down, whatever things in life might be causing you to be impatient, there is still cause for rejoicing. Be patient. Pray regularly, Lord, come quickly. Be ready and eager. But rejoice wherever you're at today, even in the midst of tears, even in the midst of pain, because Jesus is who he says he is. His promises are true, and he who promises is faithful. Amen.